Want you to turn in your Bibles, please, with me to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Just want to read from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and all unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but he knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great and wonderful message of Christmas. Lord, as we would come now to just spend a few minutes in consideration of the wonder of the birth of the Lord Jesus, and the great thought that it is God with us, that you will be pleased, Lord, to just speak to all our hearts. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I want us just to meditate this morning for a short time upon these words that we have just read together. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, and these are the words I want us to think about, God with us. God with us. Christmas is often described here in New Zealand as the silly season. I never heard that expression until I came to New Zealand, and I've heard it so many times since then. I didn't like it when I first of all heard it, the silly season. But to a great extent, that is really what it is. All the shopping, the tinsel, the presents, the eating, the family get together, the holidays, the drinking, the partying, and the lazing about. As I seek to describe that, I'm sure you understand exactly what I mean. And most of this human behavior, there is little or no reasoning for the season. Does not surprise me, therefore, that it is called the silly season. You've only got to take a walk through the malls. to be convinced that that is true. Yet for those who are truly Christians, this should bring to us a sense of great grief. Have you ever walked through the mall as a Christian and been saddened by what you see? The early Christians introduced this celebration in order to remember in a special way the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going into the history of Christmas. Many people said it's a pagan feast, and I listened to that. I'm too old to listen to it anymore. It is, I believe, for the Christian, a very special time. And regardless of what went on in history or what goes on today, we as Christians should see it as something very special, and we should see it as a great opportunity to share the wonder of the Christmas story and thus the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it was celebrated in those early days, it was a time for worship and a time to give thanks and praise to God. A time when God's people came together to reflect upon the wonder of the birth of Jesus Christ with praise and thanksgiving. And so I could ask the question of you, as I asked of myself, what is the celebration of Christmas all about for us? If we know the answer to this, it will cause us to abandon much of what the world describes as the Christmas celebrations. Dare I say that it will cause us to reject much of the way today's churches celebrate Christmas. I don't mean in any way to be judgmental, and God knows my heart, I don't like to say that, but I'm afraid I must. As I look and listen to the way in which professing Christians celebrate Christmas, it also grieves my heart. I want you to note why. Please come with me now as we consider the real reason for the season. We have just read these verses. I'm not going to read them all again, but I'll read some. Matthew 1:21. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Right here we have a statement sent from God that is miraculous and indeed incomprehensible. A statement that, if it is true, should cause us all to fall on our knees and worship. should cause us all to fall on our knees and worship. As we consider and meditate upon these words, you will call his name Emmanuel, or his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. We will consider that statement. We haven't much time to do it. We'll consider it under two, again, very simple headings. First of all, we will consider who this child is. And secondly, we will consider why this child was born. Who this child is, and why this child was born. We want to fix our eyes on this little newborn babe lying in a cattle shed, lying in a manger in a cattle shed. There he is, because the Bible says he was led in this manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And as we look at that little baby in the manger, I want us to look at him, and I want us to say it, if we can even begin to imagine it, this is God. This is God. Now we must begin with the question, and I really must begin with this question. What God? What God is being spoken of just here? You will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So as we look at the baby in the manger, we see God in the manger. But we ask ourselves, what God is being spoken of just here? The Bible, you see, makes it very clear that there are many so-called gods in the world. There are many so-called gods in the world. If you read through the Bible, you will see that again and again it speaks of different gods that existed even in those days. You remember whenever Jacob left Laban, his father-in-law, and how his wife stole Laban's gods. And whenever he caught up, he was very angry, and he said to Jacob, "And now you have gone away because you no longer want to be in this house. But why did you steal my gods?" What a question. Or could I say, what a God if he can be stolen? He says, "You've stolen my gods." And as we go through, we can see, we all have learned the Ten Commandments, or many of us have learned the Ten Commandments. And we read these words, "You shall have no other gods before me." Paul says this, "For though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, There are many gods and there are many lords. So we can see that our question is not foolish. It's not a foolish question we ask when we ask, what God is this that's lying in the manger? Because there are many gods and many lords of our own making. Even today, there are hundreds of man-made gods. And that brings about immense confusion in our world. You and I, I'm sure, are very aware of that fact. We know how confusing it is to go to the market and there see the Jehovah Witnesses standing one corner, the Mormons standing in another corner, the Muslims standing in another corner. Or what about the many, many other, which we could describe as Christian gods, that exist? They are there. They are numerous. You might say to me, hold on a minute, Alfie. Surely the Christian churches will not worship another god. I wish that were true. I wish that were true. If you talk to the Jehovah Witness or the Mormons or even to the Muslims, they will have respect for Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this morning, my dear friends, that their God is not the God of the Bible. Their God is another God, is a God of their own making. And that should sadden our hearts. Paul said to the Corinthian church, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, he says, for if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus, the one proclaimed that I proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you have received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you're worshiping another God. He says, I am astonished, as he speaks to the Galatians, that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. My dear friends, this morning, let me make it very clear. I make this clear in the light of the truth of Holy Scripture. Whenever somebody preaches a different gospel, they preach a different God. When they preach a different gospel, they preach a different God. Church of Jesus Christ needs to be extremely careful and what they present to the world, because we are in great danger of not knowing what God it is that we worship. But enough of that. Let's get back to who this child is. Please understand this. That child that lay in the manger all those years ago is the God of Holy Scripture. He is the God of Holy Scripture. Now you might say, is that important? It is very important. Because if we miss that, then we will look at that baby in the manger and we will not know what God it is or who that God is. As we look at the baby in the manger, we want to see him and note that he is the great creator. John says, without him was not anything made that was made. He is the great creator. The great creator became our savior. Now you might look at that and say, how can that be? I do as well. But I know it's true. I want us to note that he's the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob and Joseph and Moses and the prophets and so on. He is the God of the apostles. He is the God of the church of the New Testament. He is God in human flesh. And there he lies, a helpless babe in the manger. How then should we respond to him? I think it's important that we think about this. How should we respond to this baby in the manger? Well, we know how the wise men responded. This is what we read in Matthew. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You see what they did? They rejoiced when they saw the star. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and they worshipped him. They fell down and they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought to him these gifts as they fell on their knees and they worshipped him. Those wise men realized that they were in the presence of a holy God. The disciples walked with him, and on one occasion, Peter wanted to walk in the water. I'm not sure whether he wanted to show off or what, but he decided that he wanted to walk in the water with Jesus. But he only walked a few steps before he started to sink, and he cries out to the Lord. And immediately the Lord reaches out and takes hold of him and brought him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat, you know what they did. They fell down and they worshipped him. And this is what they said. They said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see what happens whenever we come to recognize that this child is God, the one and living God, the one who is from all eternity. It caused John, when he saw him in the Isle of Patmos, to fall down as though he were dead in the presence of this holy God. Why do I emphasize this morning? I do so because I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the way many of us treat Jesus Christ. The way in which it would seem the church deals with God in human flesh. They rush into his presence, or they bring to him strange fire. And they think that that is acceptable. Oh, my dear friends, whenever we come into the presence of this one and we recognize who it is, I guarantee that without exception, each one of us will do exactly what the wise men did. We will fall down and we will worship him. We will worship him in truth. You see, he is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And what do we find? What do we find that Moses did whenever he came to the burning bush? What did he hear? Take the shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is now holy ground. When Isaiah sees him, he falls. Says, woe is me, for I am undone. Oh, my dear friends, please, at this Christmas time, remember who he is. He is God. He is God of all eternity. Great old hymn. I had to quote a hymn this morning. We sung it together. Don't know where you thought about it. Wesley, some wonderful thoughts. Let earth and heaven combine. Angels and men agree to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God contrasted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise and songs divine. As we come this morning, and that's what we're here to do. We're come here to worship. Should that worship not be reverent? Should that worship not be filled with a sense of awe that we're in the presence of a holy God? As we come to look at the baby in the manger, we can see God. Shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God. But secondly, I want us to see the words that follow. God with us. And here again we have a truth that no man can really fathom, that God, the holy God, the eternal God, should be declared as the God with us. How can such a thing be? He who cannot look on sin has come to dwell amongst sinners. Can you fathom that? He who cannot look at sin comes to dwell amongst sinners. He is the God that cast sinful Adam out of his presence. As we read through the scriptures, we see that he is the God who cast the devil out of heaven and has prepared eternal punishment for him. He's the God who will cast men and women, unrepentant men and women, into eternal hell. How can he come to live and to love and to keep company with that which he so much hates? My dear friends, please look at this little helpless babe in his mother's arms. This child whom they were directed to call Jesus, who is God. And to think, is this right? Can it be true that he can be called Emmanuel, which means God with us? That's a complete and utter contradiction, some will say. But thank God it's true. Paul said this in Philippians, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Please listen, Paul has got this. He knows it to be true. Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Another version puts it this way. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling on to. Another version says, who being in very nature God. Now note, that child is human through and through. He is human through and through. You'd say, did you not just say he was God? Yes, he is God. And he always was God, and he always will be God. But my dear friends, as we see him, as the babe in the manger, we see him. He thought not equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of man or men. Note what John says of this child in the manger. Please listen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In case you have any doubts about what the Word was, when he says in the beginning was the Word, further on down that chapter, John writes these words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, my dear friends, this morning, can you see that this is God? This child is God, and this God, this holy, eternal God, is come amongst us. Call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. But in the book of Philippians, and what I've just been quoting, I want you to note what Paul goes on to say in Philippians 2 and verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He became obedient to death, even death in the cross, on a cross. And so as we look at this, what we see is we see that the Apostle Paul begins by saying, he who was equal with God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He came in to dwell among sinful men. And being found in form, human form, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto the point of death, even death on the cross. Please don't miss that. To see the cross, or to see the cradle rather, without the cross is a great tragedy. To see the cradle without the cross is a great tragedy. If we miss this, we miss the whole purpose of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas without Easter is not joy to the world, but a reason for a great weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. If we have Christmas without the Easter story, without the cross, then this Christmas season should be a cause for great sorrow. Because the eternal God came and he visited this world, and then he left this world in the state he found it. But my dear friends, he did not do that. He came with a mission, and he fulfilled that mission. You remember the other name for the child here in Matthew's Gospel? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from our sin. He is God. He is God with us. And he has come with the mission to save. And so you must call his name Jesus, which means Savior, because he will save his people from their sin. So we must ever keep that before us. That's why the proclamation of the gospel is central to the Christmas story. It's central in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're called, we're exhorted to go into all the world and proclaim the glorious gospel of Christ, that God became man and went to the cross in order that he might reconcile humanity to himself. And we call on all men everywhere to repent and turn and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior and as Lord. What a truth we have here, my dear friends. You might be sitting there just now and say, Alpha, you haven't even touched the fringe, and you're right. I don't think I've even touched the fringe. But I want us to be impressed and moved to worship in reverence and respect and awe and joy at the same time. That unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So many songs that have been written, so many Christmas carols that have been written about the Christmas story. One of the ones that I love, and it's beautiful to sing, we didn't sing it this morning, we'll do that perhaps next Sunday. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. You know, yesterday we went out and we went around and got Elsie and I, as many of you folk are doing as well, and giving out calendars. Greatly encouraged, and the first door I knocked, the lady said, will you come in for a cup of coffee? Well, that was great. But just going around, my dear friends, giving out the calendars and trying to speak to people, I am convinced more than ever before that the reason why we're here is to bring this glorious gospel to the people, the poor people in our community who are without Jesus Christ. Whether they be rich and increased with goods or have nothing, they are all in the same state. They all need Christ. You know, at this Christmas time, we seem to waste such a lot of our time. We went to Christmas in the park last Sunday. It was a joy to be there, to be able to just, in a stammering way, and some of these folk have really did a great job last Sunday in sharing the gospel with people. But as I walked around those people, and there were thousands there, I want to tell you that my heart was sad. Because I looked and I could see a people like sheep without shepherd. Here was a great opportunity to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of that time was given over to entertaining the people rather than to present to them the wonderful, marvelous, dynamic truth. You'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we have spoken on this text this morning, but we must confess to you, we can't understand it. It is far more amazing, far more delightful than we can ever begin to comprehend. But we bow to thank you, Lord, for its great truth. And Father, we pray at this Christmas season. We pray for everyone that's here who claim to know this Jesus as their Savior. Help all of us, Lord, we pray, not to waste this season, but to use it to speak to our family, to speak to our friends, to speak to our neighbors. Help us, Lord, as we go out and give out the calendars to speak to people of the wonder of this message, that we might be faithful in the presentation of the glorious gospel. Thank you again, Lord, for your holy word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.